Welcome to Lead Generation Website's local online lead generation podcast with me, Robert Keating. The podcast for local business owners who want to rank their websites in Google and generate leads and sales from the internet. Welcome to today's show. And today we're talking about on-page optimization or on-page SEO. First of all, the what, why, how, and what if. So what is on-page optimization? Well, on-page optimization is making your web pages relevant certain keywords, certain phrases that your prospects are using to search in Google for products and services like yours. In effect, it's letting Google know what your website is relevant for and what you want to be ranked for. So why is it important? Again, like off-page SEO, it's a huge ranking factor. And in fact, these days, it's probably the joint biggest ranking factor along with incoming links. But the fact is, if your pages aren't optimized for the phrases that your prospects are using to search Google for, then you're going to struggle to get targeted traffic and get the right people on your website to generate leads and sales. So how do we optimize for Google? Well, first of all, you have to research your keywords. And once you understand what phrases your prospects are putting into Google to search for products and services like yours, you can optimize the pages for those phrases. So you can research this using Google's keyword tool. And then once you know what the phrases are, you need to get some primary phrases and some related phrases. And then you add the phrases in to the content on your pages. And that's both in the headings, the titles, and in the body copy. Now the fact is that your content, if it's on topic, it will probably have a lot of these phrases anyway. So you probably just need to tweak it a bit. So what's going to happen if you don't do this? Well, if you don't optimize your pages for the phrases that your potential customers are searching Google for, they're not going to find you and you're not going to generate that many leads and make that many sales from your website. The flip side, if you do research your keywords and do optimize your pages for them, then you're going to get more targeted traffic. If your website's set up correctly, then you've got a much better chance of generating leads and sales from your website. So it's a bit like if you could imagine a burger van, fast food van, parked up outside a stadium. It's on a match day or there's some event going on. It's parked outside the stadium. Thousands of people going past. Some of these people are stopping. They're buying burgers and hot dogs. That's kind of like what an optimized page is like on the internet. It's relevant for certain phrases people are searching for. It can be in the traffic stream. It's in the stream of traffic, just like the burger van outside the stadium on an event day. If you go back to that stadium the next day and you set your burger van up and there's no events, there's not going to be any people. You're not going to sell any burgers. It's because the traffic's not there, because the burger van's in the wrong place. That would be like a web page that isn't optimized for the phrases that people are searching for. It's not in the stream of traffic. It's not going to be found. It's not going to make any leads and sales. On-page SEO describes the way each individual page is set up on your website. It also includes other technical site-wide factors such as pagination, coding, site structure, and navigation. Certainly most local business websites will not have issues with pagination and other site-wide factors such as coding, categorization. Quite often, if you're using WordPress, these issues are generally solved just by using WordPress the way it's set up. So we're not going to pay too much attention to those kind of factors. And we're going to look more at the stuff that you can actually affect and that you can go in and change things and make your pages more relevant. Optimizing a page for Google. Individual pages will need to be optimized for specific phrases that your prospects are searching for. Each page will ideally be optimized for a different phrase relevant to the content or the product or the service on that page. When Google Spider comes to crawl a web page, it will first look at the meta tags or metadata. Just to clarify, when I say Google Spider, that's the name given to the piece of software that Google sends out on the internet to index all the content, all the web pages, all the websites, place into Google's index. So it will first look at meta tags. Now, we've mentioned meta tags in previous episodes. Meta tags are the URL, which is the actual address of the web page, the page title, it's the headings and subheadings on the page, it's the description that appears in Google in the search results, and it also includes image tags, so alt tags or ALT tags. So the URL is the first thing that Google records, and so having your keywords or related keywords in the URL is very helpful. Ultimately, one of the things that Google wants is relevance. And optimizing individual pages for certain phrases is about making them as relevant as possible for those phrases. Page title. This is the title of the page, obviously, and it must contain the word or phrase you are targeting. So after the URL, the page title is the next big factor in terms of relevance that Google looks for. And after the page title, we have the headings. Now, headings are like subheadings in an article. As well as breaking up the text for the reader, they should also provide Google and the reader, obviously, with a summary of the topic by using the key phrase and variations and synonyms of that target keyword. So just like a magazine article on a web page, if you scan the web page and just look at the headings, you should be able to get an idea of the topic of the page and roughly what the page is going to be talking about. Okay, the description. This is called the meta description, and this is the thing that appears in the Google search results. Now, this is really, really important for both Google and the human searcher. Google likes each page to have a unique and original description, and it will slightly favour pages that have one over those that don't. But just as importantly, or perhaps more importantly, this 150-odd character description is shown to your prospect before they click through to your site. This is their first exposure to you, so why wouldn't you make an effort to grab their attention? Essentially, it's an ad for your page or website which you can use to steal clicks from competitors. How does that work? Well, generally people will click on the number one result first, then the number two result, number three, and so on. However, if your description is more relevant and more compelling than those ranked above you, then it's likely that searchers may click on your link rather than those above you. Now, the final meta tag is the image tag, or the alt tag, ALT tag. Now, an alt tag is what Google reads when it indexes images. Now, of course, Google cannot see images. It can only read the data, title, description, caption. Alt tags were originally conceived for sight-impaired users who used screen readers to consume web pages. The screen reader would read the alt tag to the user to give them an idea of what the visual image represented. Now, making the alt tag a synonym or variant of a keyword tells Google that the image, and therefore the page, is relevant to that phrase. So generally speaking, with your meta tags, the idea is make them relevant for a particular phrase and the related phrases around that. Let's talk about page content. Once Google has digested the meta tags, it now has a broad idea of what the page is about. It will now crawl the body content. Google uses advanced and constantly tweaked algorithms to categorize and classify content. One of the algorithms is concerned with latent semantic indexing, LSI. For our understanding, LSI takes a page topic and then looks for associated and relevant phrases that should be found on a page on that particular topic. If a page's meta tags are focused on dog training tips, for example, in the article one would expect to find some or all of the following phrases: puppy, heel, bark, jumping up, lead, collar. Once Google has found some synergy between the meta tags and the page content, it will consider that page to be relevant for that particular phrase. And it then comes down to other ranking factors as to exactly where that page will be placed in the SERPs. The SERPs is search engine results pages. Now let's talk a bit about over-optimization penalties. Since 2011, Google has radically changed its ranking algorithm, and it now hands out penalties for unnatural linking and over-optimization. We'll look at penalties in more detail a bit later in another episode. The overall thing to remember for now is that everything should appear natural and have user experience as the main goal. If you put your user's experience as your priority, then that's pretty much in line with Google and you can't go too wrong. Now, since the advent of Google's Penguin and Panda updates to the search algorithm, it's important to use variations of the keyword in different places on the page. Now, just to clarify, Penguin and Panda are the name of certain Google updates and algorithms which deal with unnatural linking and over-optimization penalties. What you need is variations of your keyword. So, for example, if you are targeting the phrase dog training tips, then one should use the following variations when optimizing the pages: great dog training tips, training tips for dogs, tips for training dogs, help training dogs, tips to help you train your dog, training tips that work. So the main phrase, dog training tips, should be the page title, and then the subheadings, the alt tag, meta description and body content should use the variations. As you probably noticed, the variations all contain the individual words in the primary phrase, but in a different order or with prefixes or suffixes. This is more natural than having the same phrase repeated in all the meta tags and in the body copy, and it will help you avoid a Google over-optimization penalty. Okay, bounce rate. Bounce rates is one of the engagement metrics displayed by Google Analytics. The term refers to visitors who only navigate to a single page on a website and then bounce away. A high bounce rate is often taken by Google as an indication that a page is not relevant to the particular search query. How can you keep your bounce rate low, i.e., get people to visit more than one page on your website. The bounce rate really helps you work out if your website is working for your visitors. A high bounce rate probably indicates that something is wrong with your website. The three main factors in bounce rate are site load speed, how quickly your web pages load, the content, how relevant is the content to the search query and to your users, and navigation, can your website users navigate around your website easily and find what they're looking for. So let's look in detail at these three aspects. So site load speed. Well, there's certain things that you can do to speed up the loading time of your website. Now, we've got some videos in our members area with step-by-step guides that explain that to you. Or what you can do, you can go to Pingdom, GT Metrics, or Google Speed Test. I've got some links below the recording. And you can check the load speed of your website. These tests will tell you how quickly your pages load. That they'll give you a grade, and some of them will compare you to other websites. So you've got some idea of where you stack up and where you're sitting in terms of page load speed. So content. Content should be useful and relevant. So if you have unhelpful, junky content, then no one's going to stick around and read it. They'll click or bounce away. So here's some tips for business website content. First of all, you need to understand your audience and write exclusively for them. What is it that your audience wants to know? Your potential customers, your prospects, what questions do they ask? What information do they need? And this should inform the content that you put on your website. If you have older content on your website, then you can update that and bring it up to date. Giving people the latest information is very helpful, and it will increase the chance of generating leads and sales from the website. But you should create high quality, useful content that actually adds value and helps people. Now, to do that, you need to make your content problem to solution content. What problems is it that your customers, your prospects come to you to solve? So in your content, you need to set out the problem and show them that you have the solution in your products and services. And the final tip is to repurpose content into other media. I've mentioned this in other podcasts. If you have an article, if you've written a 500 word article on a particular topic, you can then read that out and turn it into an MP3. You can pull out the main points and create a PowerPoint or slideshow. You can then combine the audio and the PowerPoint to make a video. You can turn it into a PDF. And all these different types of media, all these different formats, you can actually syndicate on the internet. You can put videos on YouTube and other video sharing sites. PDFs can go on Scribd and other document sites. PowerPoints can go on SlideShare. And this content syndication and putting links back to your website will also help you become more visible in Google. Now, we actually have a blog post on the website about creating business content, and there's a link to that below the recording. So please check that out if you want a bit more information. Let's talk about navigation. So navigation should be clear, simple, and intuitive. You want visitors to be able to find the content that they need quickly and easily, or else they're going to click away and your bounce rate's going to increase. We have another blog post on the topic of navigation if you want to find out more. And again, the link is below the recording. So the final thing I'd like to say about content is that these days Google looks for topic pages, not keyword pages. So a few years ago, rankings were best achieved through laser targeted pages, which each focused on just one or two keyword phrases. However, these days Google is looking for topic pages, which cover a single topic in detail and is divided by headings and subheadings. Google rewards pages that cover a topic in detail. So don't split your content on a topic across numerous pages. Google's actually looking for authority, and authority pages will cover a topic in its entirety. So if you do have separate pages on your website that are all about the same topic, I think it makes sense to combine those into one super page, because that page will have a lot more chance of ranking than the individual pages will on their own. At the beginning, I mentioned researching keywords, and keyword research is the foundation of any campaign. Online search is driven by keywords, and before you can optimize your website, you need to establish the phrases your prospects are putting into Google to search for your products and services. A user enters a search for something into Google, and they are returned a list of results based on their authority and relevance to that keyword. So broadly speaking, we can divide keywords into two distinct types: informational or research keywords and buying keywords. Now, informational keywords are phrases that have little to no commercial intent behind them. Intention being to gather information on a particular topic. For example, why is the sky blue? Now, someone puts why is the sky blue into Google, they're obviously just looking for information. They're not looking to buy anything. Sometimes it may seem like a phrase is a buying keyword when in fact it is not. Consider the search query plasma TV. Now, at first glance, this may seem like a buying keyword, but in fact, it's a research keyword. So why is this? Why do I say this? Well, because the searcher, although it's likely they are intending to buy something at some point, they're currently in research mode. They're gathering information about plasma TVs. Now compare that to the following search. LG 50 PB5600, 50-inch Freeview plasma TV. Now that is a much more specific search, looking for a particular make and model of plasma TV. So what has happened? Well, the searcher started off searching for information on plasma TVs, and through research has now decided on a specific make and model. Now they're looking for the best deal online on the nearest shop so that they can purchase. If you had a business selling plasma TVs, which search phrase would you most like to be found for? Obviously, the more specific phrase, because that is the one that you're more likely to make a sale on. So keyword selection is about identifying the buying phrases and optimizing your web pages for these phrases. Now, I've mentioned primary and related keywords. So let's talk a bit about that. So we also call them primary and secondary keywords. And to begin with, you should identify one primary keyword for each product or service that you provide or that you want to promote, and then a number of secondary or related keywords. Primary keywords should be the seed phrases that describe your product or service. They should have a viable search volume and be buying phrases. A viable search volume means that there should be a reasonable number of searches in relation to the lifetime value of the client. So let me explain. If you are selling some kind of child collectible for, say, £1 or $1, then targeting a phrase that gets 90 searches a month as your primary keyword is not going to get you very far. Because even if everyone who searches for that phrase came to your website and bought something, you're still not going to make enough money to justify it. Now, on the other hand, if you're selling business coaching packages for £10,000 or $10,000, then a phrase with 90 searches each month is suddenly looking quite attractive. So researching and establishing keywords is not simply about finding the phrase that people are searching for the most. It's actually about identifying phrases that will bring you sales and that you have a chance of ranking for. Let's talk about long-tail keywords. Long-tail keywords are phrases that are generally four or more word queries that, like the plasma TV example, are very specific buying phrases. These keywords have fewer searches but convert well because they are so specific. So a long-tail phrase is just like the example we had about the plasma TV, the very specific make and model. These are the phrases that are a bit easier to rank for. There's not as many of them, but they convert really well. So as well as primary and secondary keywords, it's a good idea to find some of these long tail keywords because you can rank for them a bit easier and they do bring leads and sales. Now, service plus location keywords. If you're a local business, then your broad primary keywords are likely to be service or product plus location, or location plus service or product, in both the singular and plural forms. You will also have more specific keywords plus location. For example, if you are a solicitor, you'll have conveyancing, family law, business law, etc. An accountant will have payroll, bookkeeping, etc., as well as accountant. So just to give you some concrete examples, if you're talking about a solicitor, okay, let's use London as an example. So you're going to have these broad, generic keywords such as solicitor in London, London solicitors, but then you'll have the more specific service plus location, which is family law London or family law solicitor London, London conveyancing firm, etc. Google has a free tool called the Keyword Planner, which will tell you the combinations that have the most search volume, and using this tool you can choose your primary and secondary phrases. There's a link below the recording to the Keyword Planner and you can go and have a play around with that. So let's talk about some action steps. So the first thing you need to do is establish the keywords that your prospects are searching Google for. So this, you'll need to select some primary, secondary and long tail keywords. Once you've established the phrases that your prospects are searching for, it's time to review your website copy and your meta tags and sprinkle these relevant phrases into the content where appropriate. Add the phrases to the meta tags, as I explained. Now, once you've done this, you can monitor your bounce rate using Google Analytics. And if you do the above and you've got some decent content on your website, you should start getting a bit more targeted traffic, and this should naturally lower your bounce rate. Now, you can also use the links that I've given you to benchmark your page load speed. This will help you identify any issues and you can start working on fixing them. So by making your site relevant for the phrases that your prospects are searching for, by checking your bounce rate and by improving your page load speed, this should increase your Google ranking and your Google visibility and hopefully bring a bit more targeted traffic to your website. Okay, we've reached the end of this episode. In the next episode, we're going to be looking at Google resources. So Google has a lot of free resources that are very useful to business owners and webmasters. And in the next episode, we'll be going through those. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate your time. I hope it's been useful. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do so on iTunes. And if it's been useful to you, I'd really appreciate a review on iTunes as well. Thank you very much. Now, if you need any more information about any of the things that we've spoken about, then you can visit leadgenerationwebsites.co.uk. Or if you need to speak to somebody about your online marketing, you want to improve your website, your ranking in Google, or the number of leads you're generating from your website, please go to leadgenerationwebsites.co.uk and please just complete the inquiry form on the page.